time to take a listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday, the 25th of February 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On Saturday, the 25th of February, Darby and Joan from our sports show stepped in and talked to Ingrid and Alexa from Waiheke Physio, Pia and Stella, two of the organisers of Te Huruhi Primary's 25th anniversary, and Buddhist Dave Stevens.
Well, good morning, and it's a little bit unusual for us being here on a Saturday morning.
Yes, good
normally,
morning. Good
normally morning filling to you all. The Friday night spot.
Yes.
But we're here to bring you Island Life.
Yes, we
and
are.
And we've got a range of interviewees this morning, I believe.
We have, and we already have two guests in the studio.
We do, we do. Yes. We've got Ingrid and Alexa here, the co-owners of Waiheke Physio. Good morning, girls.
Good morning.
Good thank to see you.
Thank you for having us.
That's okay. Now, there's a little rumour going around that you're going to start up a creche.
Yes, we're seriously considering.
Well, I guess that leads me into probably the first question. You're both working mums, so how does that work?
It's a juggle. It certainly is. But with the business and working together with our staff as well, we manage to make it work. Yeah.
I think it really helps that we're both in the same situation, so we've got a great understanding of
well, that's right. That's right.
Situation.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And obviously, knowing that you've just moved premises, how's that working for you?
Brilliantly, actually. We're thrilled to be in somewhere that's modern with our own gym space.
Yep. It's new and clean
well.
And fresh.
Exactly.
Mm. Yep, yep. And you're trying to incorporate or you are incorporating or trying to enlarge the gym facilities?
Yes, having the larger space means we can offer more services. We have more exercise groups for, say, arthritics or post-surgery. We also do sort of rehabilitation groups.
Yeah, lots of rehab. Sports sort of injuries as well,
sure,
sort of coming back
sure.
to sports and yep. being able to use the gym equipment, but right from young through to older, you know, utilising
and I know that you're actually doing some clinics, which is a new venture, I guess, for you guys.
Some little classes,
yeah.
definitely. We've got a mothers and babies group, which runs on...
Well, that was the one I was interested
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah,
that
I
was definitely
so.
The one I was interested in, because I'm looking for a new young
yeah.
mum.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to trade my old one in for ages, but I'm not having any success here. But, I'd be happy to go along to one of those young mum clinics, wouldn't you?
No.
But this is one where you go out into the community, isn't it?
I know this. We've been very fortunate. For the past year, we've had Marie Gerben, who's a women's health
yes.
incontinence
yep.
specialist, working with us. So every Wednesday in clinic, she holds a one-hour session. And it's a drop-in clinic, if you like, for mums and babies from birth to 5 months to come in and just find out what they could and should be doing.
Right, right. And how's that going? People starting to come along and
yes,
it's picking up?
Yeah. Yeah.
All these new things, they take time, though, don't they? Because the word's got to get around, and the island is like the word gets out rather than anything else through word of mouth.
Absolutely.
And then they pick up and come along.
Exactly.
And I know that Marie is quite well thought of in the physiotherapy world, isn't she?
Yes, very much. So she's actually the chair of the physio board, chair of the board of the physio... Physio New Zealand, Zealand.
So. Yeah, so you're lucky to have her, I guess, in a way.
Yes, we are.
Profile-wise, it's fantastic, and obviously very experienced.
On her
as
experience,
well.
Exactly. Yeah. She was manager of physiotherapy services for South Auckland for 15 years, and actually once my boss. So it's quite funny how the tables have turned.
Yes. That's interesting, isn't
yeah.
it?
Right. Okay. So a little while ago, you mentioned about people with arthritis and such like coming down. Could you find a spot for my mate here?
Trying to get him in.
Yes. They do try. I do go occasionally, you know.
You
I think yeah, but they have no joy fixing a broken leg. What's that all about?
I think our receptionist might risk it.
I think you could be right there. Now, I mean, I know you're mentioning all the sports people, etc. Now, you must be, if there is a busy time for physiotherapists, it must be coming up soon, particularly with the winter sports.
Yeah, absolutely. Winter is... definitely our busy season, and it's a lot to do with the sports, and I think it's the nature of the nature of the sports as well. Rugby, league, soccer, lots of girls playing netball,
yep.
those sort of things. So
yep.
our numbers do pick up. We get busy, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're mental, aren't they, those league and rugby players? Yeah. Absolutely no mental.
No comment.
Well, mental.
I thought the netballers, the Dolphins, were the worst ones.
Oh, yeah, they can be.
They must come in, surely.
They do, yeah.
So what's the most common sport injury, then, that they come in with? What's the biggest complaint?
We see lots of sprained ankles and torn, say, hamstrings and quads. So lots of just pulled muscles and sprained joints.
Now, is that because they've actually injured themselves during a game, or because they don't do their fitness right, or don't do their warm-ups right?
Preparation.
A little bit of both. Sometimes it's just unlucky. If you land on someone's foot and roll over, that's just luck. Right. But there is a little bit of lack of pre-fitness training that might come into it. certainly. But
what, they don't do a warm-up at the rocks anymore. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So now, I know things have obviously changed over the years, but just taking a rolled ankle, for instance, and John will be able to relate to this because his wife did the same thing. She's coming to see you on Monday. does the old adage of rice still stand?
Absolutely.
It does. Yep. Rest, ice, compression, elevation.
Yep.
Where did you get that
from? Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm baffled. Where did you get that from?
I had lots of rolled ankles when I was younger, that's for sure.
Oh, yep. Okay. So what, you swallow a...
Now I'm so slow, my feet don't touch the ground, so I don't get a chance to roll any ankles.
Okay. He's
See, there you go.
He is, yeah.
John's very impressed.
John's wife rolled her ankle the other day, and I was mowing her lawn when she limped home, and I said to her, look, rest, ice, compression, elevation. There you go, see?
But she got no sympathy from him.
No, I'd said it with a grin, I must say. But there you go, see, I'm a walking advert for the physiotherapy
Absolutely.
Clinic.
Absolutely, give you our cards.
Yeah, that's right, just every lawnmower I go to.
Yep.
But you do realise, though, if you was to actually give him cards or let him help you out, he'd just say to your customers, toughen up.
Sometimes we'll say the same thing.
Now, how long has the physiotherapy clinic been going?
Well, the practice has been on the island for over 20 years, but Ingrid and I have been in co-ownership for exactly 5 years now. So, 5 years.
And there's now another physio on the island, isn't there?
There is, working up in Onero with Matt, he comes over from Auckland on a Monday and Friday.
Right. And I guess you've also been involved in things like Wharf to Wharf, all that sort of stuff as well.
Exactly, as well as sponsoring one of the sports teams each year. We're down at the end picking up the pieces every year for Wharf to Wharf.
And of course, I'm not sure if it still happens, but I know when Emma was here, she used to go with the league boys and do some strapping. They have a strapping clinic. You're still doing a strapping clinic?
Yep, we'll definitely be setting that up.
Right.
That will run on Saturday mornings. And it's not just for league or rugby. It's for any sports codes or anyone that's going off the island to play sport, wants something strapped. And we have actually got a third-year physio student who's been working with us over the summer, and she will be sort of helping out and sort of attending some of the games as well.
Because you've been quite lucky with the physio students that you've had, really, haven't you? Most of them have been pretty good.
Oh, we've been very impressed with the calibre of students coming through the New Zealand system.
We managed to grab one of them to play football. If we're short in town, Tim comes along and plays football for us, which is fantastic.
That's good.
So get some more blokes, will you?
Well, we'll get his details. We want to recruit for somebody.
We need some.
So what's the worst injury you've had down there, then?
Oh, I suppose it's the really traumatic spinal injuries. They're always tough injuries, but obviously we treat other problems, not just injuries, but medical problems, and they can be just as devastating.
All right, okay. And the ages you get, if you like, your patients from, young to old?
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, we're very lucky with our physio staff. We've got such a diverse range of experience. We do treat from paediatrics, so from children coming in with respiratory problems to the elderly. We do a lot of home visits, community work with older people's health.
Okay. Well, that's right. See, a lot of people can't actually get out to get to the clinic for one reason or another. So you go along and do a house visit, like my friend Pepper and et cetera. Yeah.
So it's a bit like Meals on Wheels.
Well, yeah, sort of. Yeah. Well, they might take a coffee with them. That's as far as it goes, mate. That's as far as it goes.
All right. So let's see, if you have the real bad ones, and obviously I'm assuming that they're then carted off to hospital. Is that right?
Yes, we either have patients who we feel exactly are too ill to be on the island or too ill for us to do anything really significant beneficial for, and then we'd be contacting the GP to take things further. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any funny injuries, or any injuries caused by something funny?
I suppose a lot of the ACC forms that are filled out, classic ones, you know, the New Year's, I certainly know a friend of mine, is the typical, when did this happen? Oh, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible fracture of the ankle, not realise that they'd actually got a bone poking through until mid-morning.
And the classic walking home late at night on Waiheke, falling down the...
Yes.
Sides of the
our roads aren't
roads.
The greatest either, are they? You know what I'm saying?
No, very true.
Walked off cliff.
And it's very hard to keep a straight line when you've had a couple of lemonades.
Yeah, well, in your case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, besides sorting out the injuries, do you play sports yourselves?
Last time I played sport was 18 months ago, and it was my first game back after having my... little baby girl, and I ruptured my Achilles tendon.
She was in a moon boot.
Good effort. Yeah. Good effort. And then I had to go to physio, so I haven't ventured back yet.
And what was the sport you were playing?
Netball. It was indoor netball up at the rec centre.
Right,
yeah.
So that was a good way to return, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah.
Now, can you imagine if a club had been looking to buy her? And she goes and injures herself.
That's right, yeah. No signing on feet.
That's it, downhill.
No.
It's got her own physio, though.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Physio on tap.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know these girls have got to get away and pick up their kids. So, anything else you'd like to tell us about?
No, I think we've covered it. Just letting people know that a strong push for us is sports, and that's my particular interest. Because Alexa has said that we've got, you know, varied physios and their expertise, so it's sort of all ages and
It works well. You do sports, and I focus on the health trust side of things. We've got strong links with them,
Which is fantastic. And if you're listening out there, of course, the girls have moved to new premises behind the shops at Ostend, next to Dick Smith's. And, well, they've got good neighbours, Dick Smith's on one side and a cattery on the other.
Yeah. Well, so if they're bored, they can obviously go and borrow a TV.
Yeah, that's
And if they feel like doing something like fit and healthy, go and walk a dog.
Walk a dog. Diversity.
And legal expertise over the road.
Well, that's right. Yes. Oh, that's good. So thank you very much for coming along.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it hasn't been as traumatic as you thought it was going to be.
No,
not at all.
It's been pretty easy. Right. So we'll let you get away and pick up the children.
Great. Yes. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming in. All right.
Thank
you. And we'll have to... we'll get Darby to come in and see you, because he reckons he's coming in, and he can see if he can get some more info that we could use, especially as the sporting season goes on, because many of the boys won't admit
absolutely.
To being
happy
injured.
To.
That's right. We don't.
Yes.
Toughen up, son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies.
Right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio. 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Okay, and we're back with our second guest of the morning.
Yeah, we've got two lovely young ladies here. We've got Pia and Stella, who have come to talk to us about the 125th anniversary of Te Huarahi School. And just a quick word to Russell Grimshaw. I hope you're not asleep in the tyre bay, and I hope you're listening to this, because this was for you.
Okay, that's very nice. Oh, request for your mates, eh? Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, so as Darby just mentioned a little while ago, you'd be a busy lady at this time.
Absolutely. Mm. I mean, it's been, we only started at the beginning of the school year, so we've really been rushing it. But we have a great group of people. Parents are coming forward, the community.
Yep.
And I'll just say it's the 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
Ian might not like the 125th.
Yeah. That's all right. He's been here 125 years.
Well, Russell looks like he's been here 125 years.
We love Russell. We love Russell.
He's great,
a gem.
Yeah, he's great.
So what's lined up for next Saturday then?
Well, what it is, it's a Twilight Gala. So we're going to start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start off with, it's a big kind of carnival atmosphere with the kids at the school have all taken ownership of a stall with their teachers and getting their parents involved. So it's about the children. We're going to have a pool party in our new heated school pool, which we're really excited about.
Fantastic.
And so we'll have a couple hours of that. We'll have bouncy castles and water sports. And we also have a really good lineup later in the evening. We've got a lot of local talent, but everyone has a connection with Te Huarahi. So we've got the kids choir from our school, high school. We have Ben Cara, who's a well-known.
Yep.
Danny Codling's going to be there playing, and he used to go to Te Huarahi. And we have some other things up our sleeve. And the one really cool thing we're going to do, because it goes on until 10 o'clock at night, and we've actually been gifted, so to speak. It's the Secret Cinema. And this is a group of guys who go around the country touring, and it's basically they'll announce we're coming to Auckland,
right.
But they won't say where it is or what the movie is.
Oh.
And then they kind of flash it on all those modern tweaking and all that stuff. And you just go show up, and there's a cinema. So it's an outdoor cinema.
Oh, awesome.
And so we'll be doing that as well, and they've been really generous in donating this for us because they usually don't... announced the location, but because it's a school fundraiser,
right.
They said this is a really good cause.
Fantastic.
So we'll let you know it's on Waiheke, but we won't let you know the movie.
What the movie is. That's okay. Cool.
But it will be a family movie.
So we're hoping, obviously, for good weather.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Yes.
And I think we should be okay. We're due some good weather, aren't okay. we?
Well, I'm just watching the wind and stuff today going, okay, we can have this now, and in a couple of weeks we need a very calm,
it'll be good.
Beautiful day.
It'll be good, yep.
Okay, so the surprise cinema and the rest of the event, where is it being held?
It's at Te Huri, the backfield.
Yep.
So we'll be having that whole back area. We do, we'll have, it's a no BYO please, because we will in the evening have a bar. We just got a special license.
Sure.
We'll be serving food, a lot of kids' food in the afternoon, and then more dinnery food at night. You know, we just bring a change of clothes for the kids because they'll be getting wet.
Yes.
Yep.
And
yep.
some warmer clothes for the evening. But, you know, bring a rug, bring the family. It's a real family event.
Okay.
And we do have a bit of a wish list.
Go on.
If people in the community, we'll have a white elephant sale.
Right.
So we have put an ad in the Gulf News, but we're looking for a good quality, you know, used clothes, books, toys. We're also looking for plant and tree seedlings for one of our stall.
Right.
We also are in need of a few easy up tents for shade.
Oh, yes.
You know, like they have in the market.
Gazebos, et cetera.
Gazebos.
Yep.
And it is by gold coin entry. So, you know, start saving up those gold coins because it is a fundraiser as well. It's a celebration, but we are raising funds for the school's arts and music and media department, which are things that aren't funded by the ministry of education. So.
Yep. It's getting harder and harder for funding in general, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So
it's tightening down. And that's why, you know, this is sponsored by the Parents and Friends Association of Te Huri, which is a voluntary group of parents who raise funds. And this is probably our biggest fundraiser we've done in a while. Okay. So we're really excited.
I'm actually quite staggered by, there's lots of different organisations like yourself that fundraise, etc. The support that the island gives to all of these things is quite amazing.
Oh, it's been phenomenal. I mean,
fantastic.
We've had some incredible emails to the school, and everything that's donated goes through the front office and it goes to the school. But I mean, this is Waiheke's unique. I've been here 20 years and it never ceases to amaze me how generous and what a close community we are.
Yep, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So there would have been a few changes, I guess, over the years at Te Huri.
Yes.
Initially, would it have started as just a primary school?
Yeah, well, there used to be the area school where the high school and the primary, and then they separated that, and that's when Te Huri became a primary school, and the high school started as well.
Yep.
So in reality, we probably should have done this in conjunction with the high school. But, you know,
that's
can
goes,
only handle
it?
One
that's
school.
That's where it goes. Yeah, that's right.
But,
that's
and, you know, we have a great staff. I mean, I'm on the Board of Trustees as well, and the staff is just phenomenal. And it's got a great reputation.
Sure.
So many people have a connection to Te Huri, and I think in a lot of positive ways, really. You know, you talk to people now about it, and they're like, oh, I remember my grandma went there, you know, my daughter, and it's cool.
So are you expecting many, if you'd like, the older pupils, which would now be parents, come along?
Absolutely. I mean, because a lot of the mums I know used to go to Te Huri, who now have children there. So, and it's, again, the whole community, because 25 years is a long time, so a lot of people will have gone through or have some sort of association.
They would, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, a lot of people would, Oh, that's cool.
Was you allowed to go there? Oh, you lived in town, didn't you? You
went I lived to a posh in town, school. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So either of you have a... association?
Well, no, John came from England.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, that's right.
a sad day that was.
Yes, thank you.
No, not true. And I've been coming here since I was 5 years old. In fact, I do have an association with Te Huri because my younger son went to Te Huri for a year.
Oh, cool. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, we came and lived on the island, and the wife and I commuted to town, and Corey went to Te Huri. Yeah, I'd forgotten all about it, actually.
Did he enjoy it?
He did. He loved it.
Cool.
He loved it,
good.
Yeah. I've got pictures of him up on the stage in a play. He played a policeman, which... If you knew my son, that's just out of the realm of fantasy.
This is, he's not a policeman now, I take it.
He's definitely not a policeman now, I can tell you that. But that's right, yeah, I didn't even sort of click. But see, everybody has an association somewhere
down the line. I reckon, yeah, and there's a lot of good stories out there, so hopefully we'll get a few of those up on the stage as well.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah.
You're going to have an old photograph board?
Yeah, we are. We've been, and also I should mention the students currently have been putting together a video to show about how they feel about the school and the philosophy, it's going to be really clever. And we have been going through the archives and getting, we've already had a few in the Gulf News, and there's some great photos out there of the classes from, the school started in 86, but it wasn't officially recognized and open until 87.
Right.
So I think the admin wanted to sneak through this, but we said, We have a plaque on the wall that says 87, so we said 87, 2012, hey, that's 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll have all that too.
Right. So the kids' video now. Now, is it their views or have they been told?
It's their views.
What to
no,
say
no, they're
teachers?
Doing it with one parent, and she's, she does this. And I've been watching it, and they come up with a concept, and it's going to be brilliant. We do have the new library we built, and in that we have a media suite, which is we're still trying to upgrade, but they're using, doing a bit of editing, and it's going to be great. I'm really impressed.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you know what they say, out of the mouths of babes, could be quite good, couldn't it?
Mm. Be fantastic. Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, no, it'd be a good event. Yeah, 4 o'clock onwards, twilight.
4 o'clock onwards, 4 till 10 o'clock, Saturday, March 10th. Rain date's the 11th, but we won't need a rain date because it's going to be
that's
Mother Nature will be on our side.
Yep.
Did you want to say anything, Stella, about how much you like Te Huruhi?
Oh.
Or are you being a bit shy?
Go on. You can
just
say something.
Just in here. Just go up to the mic real quickly.
So, who's your teacher?
Yeah.
Mrs. Travis.
And is she good?
Yes, she's one of the best teachers.
You know, I went to a school in Devonport called Devonport Primary School, and I still see my teacher when I was at Devonport Primary School in Devonport when I go back, and she's still teaching as a teacher's aide at Devonport Primary, and it's pretty cool. And she remembers me. She sees me and she goes, I know your face, but I can't remember your name. And then I tell her my name, and she taught myself and my sister. And it was pretty cool to be able to see them after all that long time, you know? It's really good.
So what's your favourite subject at school? What do you like most?
I like art and reading.
Art and reading. Okay, so you pick up the old paintbrush, do you? You any good?
Yeah, are you any good still?
Yeah.
You're a good artist, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I would say that I'm her mum,
What things do you like to paint?
Well, I'm probably best at drawing people.
Oh, well, that's one of the hardest things to be able to draw. Mm. I can only draw stick figures, so you're a lot better off than I am, I'm sure.
Yeah.
My best subject was called Going Home.
Ah, there you go.
It was my best subject.
So what are you going to be doing next Saturday? Because obviously your mum's going to be busy. Are you going to be busy as well? Or are you going to be out enjoying yourself?
Well, probably out enjoying myself and also helping run our class stall.
Good girl.
And what sort of stall has your class got?
We don't exactly know it yet, but I think...
Bit of everything.
But it's something about treasure maps.
It's treasure map game.
Oh, that's cool.
So I might be able to find some treasures.
You got it.
Do I have to bring a shovel?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, we could go and dig up Russell's field, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah, please.
Russell would love that. He'd love me for that.
And say that the mowers have been round.
Yeah. Right. I'll have to make sure. I know his mower's broken down at the moment, so he'll have to make sure his mower's fixed so I can get everything looking tickety-boo nice before we get along there.
Okay.
And I guess with a little place like Waiheke, most of your teachers, et cetera, would be long-term as opposed to moving as they do in the city quite a bit.
Absolutely. We've got a great staff. When you start looking at the photos historically, it's like, oh my golly, she was there back in, I won't say the date.
Yeah.
I am trying to convince a few of them to come.
Yes.
But they say they don't do public speaking. And I'm like, but you stand up in front of 30 students.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we'll get some here next week to tell some stories.
That'd be great.
But we do
it?
Have a really good steady staff.
Yes,
and very dedicated.
Yeah, because I know in town people move on for whatever reason, promotion and whatever, but an island is obviously a little bit different. So it's pretty cool that you have that continuity for people.
Yeah, we're very lucky in that regards. And, as you say, the kids see their teachers years later and it's still,
Yep. Well, I know, like my friend Russell there, who I work with at BP.
Oh, okay.
He gets children coming into the garage and saying hello and all that. I think it's really cool.
Yes, really he's cool. A fixture. He's good.
He is a fixture. Yeah, he's a fixture.
And Ian right. Travers, too. That's he's been sure. around.
And Ian, yeah.
And Ian's fantastic. Yep. So.
I think Ian's due to come on the radio with Chris, actually, as well.
Great. Good. He'll have cool. some stories.
I'm sure he will. Mm. Actually, we must tell Chris to ask him about his new BMW as well.
Oh, yeah. I think we're paying him too much, eh? Good for him.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add before
No, I just want to say it's going to be... We're really excited about it, and we're really happy. So we just want to invite the whole community to come out, celebrate a great school been around for a really long time. Part of Waiheke's history, really.
Absolutely. Mm. Okay. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think I might even pop along myself.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Oh, please do.
We'll be there.
Come watch a movie.
Yeah.
Just, it'll be a surprise.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, we can. If we can
might be the Muppet movies.
Yeah,
you never know.
Hey, it could be the Muppets. That'd be cool.
We can go and watch it. We can critique it afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go. See, there you go. You could be whether their names.
Gordon Bennett. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, Gordon Bennett.
Not us two. No. You don't want us two there.
Yeah, I think the names you're looking for is Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yeah, there we go. That's the one.
Mickey and Minnie. Yeah. Tom and Jerry. All right. Thank you very much.
Yes,
thank you.
And obviously, next week, like I say, someone else will be in from school. Won't they talk to Chris and maybe a bit of history on the school, etc.
Absolutely. So just, you know, keep looking out for the flyers.
That's it. And keep in touch with the press and make sure you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get along.
Yeah.
Yeah. All be right. fantastic.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, girls.
Thank you both. And enjoy the rest of your day. All right.
Michelle.
And hopefully we'll see you next Saturday.
Thank you.
Down at the school. Waiheke Radio. And we're now back with our final guest.
We are. Oh. And I was just saying outside the studio, I'm very pleased to see that he hasn't worn a football shirt in today.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to see you haven't worn one.
Well, I haven't for a change. No, it's not a sports show, you see. Yeah,
sorry.
I save that for a Friday night.
Yes. Anyway, let's introduce our guest. And Mr. Dave Stevens. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Okay. Right. Now, as we know, that we're going to speak today about Buddhism. Right?
Yeah.
So we'll start on that, right? And as it progresses, we may drop into sport. Because we are all going to see the All Whites on Wednesday night at Mount Smart. So
that's right.
Dave, Buddhism, religion, belief, philosophy?
More a philosophy, I would think, of the three options. A way of life.
Okay. All right. So now, you like me are a London boy. You lived in Battersea, that area.
Chelsea,
right? Yeah. Okay, right. So, hence the team.
I told him. I said no swearing on the show. Oh, he's done it already.
Yeah, it was just $2. You would have gone to a normal secondary school like I would have back in the UK.
It was a Church of England secondary school.
Right.
I remember getting in trouble with the teacher there by. They used to have a thing called religious instruction.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
And I said to him at the time, "Why do we call this religious instruction? Because you only teach us one religion. You don't teach us about any of the other religions."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I said, "Well, this is a Church of England school." Yeah. I said, "Well, that's fair enough, but then you should rephrase the title of the course."
Yeah,
that's interesting because I don't think in New Zealand we ever had any form of religious instruction.
Right. We used to.
I guess there might be because they're like yourselves. There are schools that are aligned to different religions. So I guess if I'd gone to one of those, perhaps I would have.
Mm. I mean, I take Dave's point that perhaps it should have been broadened to accept all the other religions. Because in our class, I mean, there were kids from India, Pakistan, there were Muslims, there were Jewish kids. But yeah, it was the one book he was taught from, and that was it. And you had to attend the lesson; you had no choice.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
compulsory.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
But is that because your parents chose to send you to that? Was that a religious school?
No,
or as such, or
no. Religion was never a big part of it.
Right.
It was basically because the two schools, the junior and the secondary school, were across the road from each other.
So you went to one, and then you went to the other.
You followed the other one. That was it. That's how you did it.
Yeah, interesting. Mm.
So when did you take an interest in?
From the age of about 15 or 16, I did a lot of reading, and I was struck by the Buddha's statement. One of the things he said was, "This is what I've found to be true for me.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out and see if it's true for you." And that was, to me, a challenge and an opportunity to investigate.
All right. Okay.
And it gave me the desire to find out more, and I haven't been able to fault any of his primary teachings.
Right. Okay. So if you think of Buddhism as itself, you think of Dalai Lama.
He's a Tibetan Buddhist. Buddhism, like Christianity, has many branches.
Mm-hmm.
My initial interest was with Theravadan Buddhism, which is one of the older religions, or strains of Buddhism, I should say.
All right. Now, like, if you like Christianity, supposedly, they have a Bible. The Muslims have a Quran. Is there a book, or is it all just by word of mouth? Is it something that's been passed down?
Initially, the Buddhist teachings were passed down by word of mouth, because in a lot of countries, it was prior to the written press. And so in the Pali canons were like chants that were of the Buddha's words that got passed on. And then later on, other great teachers had their teachings recorded. So, but there's no specific one book, but there are a lot of teachings that are based around the Buddha's original teaching, because he taught for nearly 60 years once he became enlightened.
Because it's interesting, you know, Chinese whispers. Mm. I'll say something to you, you'll say something to Dave, and it gets lost in translation. Mm-hmm. So at some stage, obviously, they've written it down to make sure that their word is still held. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
All right.
Because if it was just purely spoken, it gets changed all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Moves on.
But and that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you've got to change with the times, and it doesn't mean that your philosophy has to be rigid. Mm. You know.
Mm. So the philosophy on life, is it non-confrontational, or which way do they look at it?
Well, one thing I would say with if you get an interest in Buddhism, you end up studying yourself.
Okay.
Because one of the primary things that we all deal with is our mind, and Buddhism is probably paramount in the fact that it encourages you to look at your mind, and of course the primary tool with that is meditation, and so the crux of it.
Yeah.
In Buddhism, you end up studying yourself, and that's not always a pleasant thing to do, but it is very rewarding.
Well, in John's case, he could do that in about a second flat, so we'd be all right, wouldn't we, John?
I've just done it.
You're right. Because, I mean, meditation's all sorts of things. I've got a friend who swears by meditation. He does it every day, and he just says that it's his time. It's what he calls his time, and he can just release himself of all his stress and et cetera, and he loves it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean,
loves it.
Dare I say, if you like, you take like meditation, yoga, and such like, and this would just be a general thing, like people's perception, that is, if you like, it's old hippies. But it's not, is it?
Because no, certainly not. Yeah,
that's it, Tizzy Mike.
You know, the world's changing. People now more open to these things, whereas maybe before it would have been poo-pooed, you know? But
the irony of the Buddhist teachings is that what he taught 2,000, nearly 3,000 years ago still holds true today, because there is nothing fundamentally changed about our desires for happiness and the way we are in the world and what causes our problems and what causes our pleasures.
Okay, all right.
I've got a little thing here which I think is rather lovely and simple. From a Buddhist teaching is, do no harm, do your best, calm your mind. That's what the Buddha taught.
Interesting.
You can't really get anything more simple and more profound at the same time as that, and if we all could understand that would be very helpful for all of us.
Mm. Okay, now recently you were telling me that you've been to a couple of meetings where there's been someone there, and tell us who the person was and how they got to be in that position.
There was a chap on the island called Tarchin who was visiting, who I first met 20 odd years ago, who was a devotee, I suppose you'd call him, or an attendant for a lama who had an interest in history. They were both Canadians, and this island's incredibly blessed because we've had two sand mandalas on this island, and that they're incredible things to see, and they do, I think, to see the cleverness and the intricacy of the work, and then to see the work destroyed afterwards.
Yes,
it gives a lot of people a lot of things to think about to that whole thing. And every month, and starting back in March 11th, Geshe Tinley comes down from Whangarei and does teachings, 10 o'clock on the 11th, and Sunday. Now, he's a Geshe, which most people might not know what that means, but he's a professor of Buddhism. And this is a man who's been studying Buddhism since he was probably 5 years of age. And his whole life has been dedicated to it. And, and it's wonderful to be in the presence of people like that, because it's tangible how they are in the world. And, quite humbling in a way.
Now, you're obviously not the only follower of Buddhism on the island. How many people, approximately?
I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm involved with a group of people who meet and we sit and talk about life, and then we sit in silence. And they're all from all different streams of Buddhism.
Yeah.
I know there were some meditation groups that were occurring on the same day in different parts of the island. When the Sand Mandala was given over to the sea, I think there would have been something like 3,000 people there.
Wow.
And not all from the island, a lot have come over.
Yeah.
But a lot of this, I mean, this island is full of people who have a spiritual aspect to their life.
Sure they are, yeah, sure.
And they might not consider themselves Buddhists, but they're attracted to people who teach.
Yeah, sure.
Because a lot of people have an interest in Buddhism, but they wouldn't consider it to be their religion. They may well still be Christian, or
Okay. So when these guys turn up and they you go and see this, is it basically open to anyone, or do you?
Oh yes, yes. Yep. With Geshe Tinley, he talks. We sometimes work through teachings of past masters, if you like, and look at that. But they're definitely open to the general public, and we usually enjoy. I mean, one of the things that Buddhism teaches is not to take life too seriously or yourself too seriously, and we usually, there's quite a bit of laughter as well, and recognition that we all want to be happy, you know.
Well, I think that's fantastic, because I think life is too serious. Mm. It's not as easy as it could be, and if you can't laugh at yourself, it's not laughing at you, laughing with you, I think it's fantastic. And it releases, they've proved medically that laughter is a fantastic thing.
Mm.
You know?
I agree.
But I think this guy, the first thing that Dave said when he came in, he was sent to the school, and he asked the preacher or whatever it is why he can't open up. And the Buddhist guy said, well, this works for me.
Yep.
Try it and see if it works for you.
Mm.
And that's maybe a little bit of reverse psychology. I think it's a fantastic way to be, though.
Mm.
You know, because it doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for everybody.
That's right.
And he's accepting that. Mm. And whereas the other guy was just hard and fast. This is your religion. That's it. And if you know, I haven't been to church for a long, long time, but I remember I used to get dragged along to church, and it was my way or the highway.
Mm.
That's all it was about. I think they've probably changed a little bit since then. They've got to move with the times. I would certainly hope so anyway. But interesting.
Yes, but you think of religion, though. I mean, sometimes it's one of the causes of problems around the world.
In my opinion, it's the major cause of a lot of the problems around the world. And I think it's, in a word, I think it's intolerance.
Well, that's the thing that I would hope, if somebody was listening to the Buddhist teachings, that's something they would never be. And,
right.
You know, I think most people who have no interest in religion, when they observe the Dalai Lama and the way he comes across, the one thing that is obvious is there is a man who isn't intolerant to anybody.
Yes, sure, yeah. Well, I can't afford to be intolerant. I support Derby County, so I've got to be as tolerant as I can. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So then, with the stresses and strains that we have on life, and some of it is we put upon ourselves, how do, like, with what you believe, how do you work it in with your day-to-day life?
I have a practice I do each day,
right.
And I have my own personal lama. This is a fairly recent thing that happened about 5 years ago. I always try to view things in a way that makes allowances for our difficulties. For example, if somebody was to speak to me abruptly,
mm-hmm.
and was obviously short-tempered, one of the things I try also remember is I don't know what's going on for this person. I don't know what's happening in his or her life, you know. And it's not necessarily about me.
You've taken his frustrations out. You just happen to be there.
And also recognizing that we are all in this together, you know. We're on a piece of rock whizzing through the world, you know, through the planet. Once it spins around it, traveling at 25,000 miles an hour or something, and never occupies the same space or time ever again. And you can't help but realize that we this life is precious.
It is precious.
And we're all incredibly fortunate to be here, and to be on Waiheke is stunning.
Yeah, yes. Doesn't get any better.
Yeah, so talking of places to be, have you travelled the world, going to...
I've been to a few places. I mean, I'm not a great traveller in comparison to a lot of people. I think the old thing of that always shocks me is I go to these places and there's these big... layouts of where we are, and there's a sticker that says you are here, and I always think, how do they know that?
because
that's the thing. The amusing thing is really that we can do an awful lot, but it's still in the end always about us and how we think about it. Yeah. You know, and you know, there will be people who, no matter how pristine their environment, how wonderful their life is, there would still be things that are irking them. Because
of course there would, yeah.
Because they don't investigate their own mind.
Right. Okay. So you said earlier, some of the things when you're thinking about yourself, you don't find everything ever so pleasant. So would that be advisable for some people? If they've, I know, don't want to dig up the past?
I think the recognition, I mean... time is an interesting one. The recognition of most of our problems is that our attitude is askew, because we're either worrying about the future or dwelling on the past, when in actual fact the only life we can ever live is in the present. Mm-hmm. And that's one way of reminding yourself that, because when you're sitting on your cushion, you're in the present.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not in the present, you bring yourself back to the present.
Okay. Now, last night when we was doing the sports show, and I actually did my Jones knitting report, because they're looking for a free wall.
Jordan Bennett.
Your dear lady mum got a mention, because she still knits, I believe.
Yeah. Right? In actual fact, I was getting her some wool yesterday.
Good man, right? No, so she came up in the conversation yesterday, and obviously gave her a good mention. She's still the oldest person on the island, isn't she?
No,
there's someone older than her on the island?
There's a woman who lives in Blackpool who's a year older than
her. Oh, okay. All right.
And now, she keeps quite a low profile, but she's an amazing woman. And I said to her the other day about you can reminisce about your life. And she said, oh, bugger that, I'm more interested in the present.
Yeah.
103-year-old, what a fantastic attitude.
Yes.
So your mum, does she have any views on your beliefs?
Oh, yeah. I'm brainwashed.
All right.
Oh, really?
All right.
And also, because I don't eat meat, that we've got a little thing going that if I eat meat, she'll ride a horse.
Okay.
So you don't
all
eat...
Right, fair enough.
You don't eat meat as a part of Buddhism, or you just choose not to eat meat?
I just choose not to eat meat. I mean, a lot of Buddhists do eat meat. In fact, you know, from Tibetan Buddhists, they wouldn't have been able to survive. There's virtually
nothing else available. It's interesting, because my eldest boy is his partner was brought up in the Hare Krishna environment, and I talk to her from time to time when she comes over, and she's a vegetarian, and it, really interesting, just a different, and she's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
Lovely girl.
Is she still in the Krishna movement?
No, her mum is up on the North Shore. But she isn't, no. I think she still holds true to some of their beliefs.
Right.
I think she's picked out the bits that apply to her, that works for her, and she applies them to her life. And she cooks us a meal. And look, I'm a meat eater. Well, I'm not a big red meat eater. I like chicken, etc. Don't like vegetables overly. I eat them because I know I've got to. But she cooks us vegetarian meals, and they're fantastic. Mm. Absolutely fantastic.
Okay. All right, now, we'll just go to a short musical break. Dave, stay with us, because we're going to carry on this conversation, because we've still got another 15 minutes of the show to go. And we might even have a little chit-chat, think what's going to happen on Wednesday. Just, you know, sort of different.
I can tell you, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen.
All right, we'll just play this for you, and we'll be back in a moment. after that little technical glitch there.
Is that your idea of a musical break?
It was very short, wasn't it? Hey? Did you like the way I jumped it around?
I've told you we should stop playing those records. We should come up with the times and get a CD or something.
Nah.
Hey?
Nah,
that's
old.
Like one of those guys in the thing, isn't it? Hey? Doing the old doo-da-doo-da. Yeah,
me and you mixing music. maybe not.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not. All right, now, okay, next Wednesday, we're all three of us, we're off to see the All Whites play Jamaica at Mount Smart, right?
That's right. Right.
Really good. Right, now, Dave, how does sport fit in with your beliefs? Because if you like sports, rough and tumble, physical contact, and sometimes it gets a little bit...
Yeah, I mean, the importance of sport in my life is has dwindled over the years because it's, you know, I recognise it is basically just a distraction, and it doesn't really fit comfortably with
right.
my deeper beliefs, but you know it is what it is, and it is entertaining and it is engrossing and arises the passions. I mean, I don't now kick the cat if we lose.
All right, okay, all right.
When we lose.
I don't have a cat, but anyway, yeah.
All right, so you're obviously looking forward to Wednesday night?
Yeah, I think a lot of people still don't realise what an amazing achievement it was for New Zealand to get to the World Cup, let alone to come away from there undefeated. And it's because people who have a passion about football know just how hard it is to perform against the top echelon and actually achieve the results. Yeah, it's quite remarkable.
Yes, I think there's a good case there where the Kiwi spirit actually shone through.
Well, we were going, of course, we were going to Mount Smart was in some ways the home of football because it's where the 1982 All Whites played all their qualifying matches, home qualifying matches, and I can remember vividly going there and you couldn't get out of the place afterwards. It was a traffic jam. It was just unbelievable. The place was going off. It was fantastic.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, looking forward to it. It'd be good because the bit now where Mr. Nelson's now at Spurs, a few Tottenham supporters come out and said like who is, you know, he's too old, he's past it and whatnot. And it's like, well, he brings experience and he brings that Kiwi spirit, you know, something you actually need, and it's not going to be a bad thing, you know.
Well, he's not there long term, is he? I mean, he hasn't got a lot of time left on his career, but. Particularly when you've got the likes of Dawson, who's just come back from injury in your Tottenham case, and what's his name, who's always injured?
Oh, Mr. King.
Mr. King.
I think he'll actually get a contract for next season.
I think he probably will if he performs well enough in the last part of the season, whoever the manager is.
But no, just to keep his spirit when it's abroad, you know. Obviously very proud, and you know, let's get on with it, toughen up, you know.
Yeah, and let's hope they get a decent crowd along there because we haven't seen the All Whites play at home for such a long time. Because of the nature of the beast now, with a lot of the players playing professionally overseas, it's cheaper for New Zealand football to have a friendly match in London.
Yep.
You know, than it is to bring them all the way back here and the other teams as well.
So, obviously your side, Chelsea, not going so well.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, no, that's... I mean, that's an interesting example of desire and the trouble that it can create for you. You've got an instance where somebody with the amount of money of Abramovich has bought himself a train set, which is Chelsea Football Club, and then he's getting other people to play with it, and occasionally, you know, you can understand what it's his bloody train set. He wants to control it.
Yes,
I mean, I wish there was a bit more honesty around that, and yes, it's interesting because there's the challenge of his understanding and his desire for things to go well, and yet he's bought this club, he's bought all these players for these incredible amounts of money, and they're still not providing him with what he wants.
That's right. They started off okay when he first took ownership, and I'm wondering if it's going to be similar at Man City. You know, they've plied millions and millions of pounds into the club. They're doing very well at the minute. Let's see them in a year or two and see how they're still in the same vein.
Well, assuming they keep Mr. Mancini as manager for two or three seasons, give him a run, as opposed to 18 months and you're gone.
You'd think they would, particularly they're going to be thereabouts, aren't they? Mm. They're definitely going to be thereabouts, so be interesting.
All right, then, so you've been out in New Zealand some 28 years now?
Yeah, off and on. I had a period of about 5 years back in the UK in the mid to late 90s. Mm.
So you obviously lived on the mainland before you made it to here?
Yeah, I lived initially in Auckland, then I lived in Hawke's Bay, Taupo, Tamanui. So I've never lived down south, right. But I've lived in a few places in and around New Zealand.
So the places you live, was it any easy access for meeting like-minded people like yourself, like the Buddhists and such? Or was it a bit harder?
When I was living in Tamanui, which probably didn't have a lot of people who were interested in spiritual paths of any description, really.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting. But even there, we held a little meditation group. It wasn't specifically Buddhist, but people were interested and came along because no matter where you live, you're still dealing with everyday life and the issues that it creates. I mean, the irony of it is, well, we're talking about football just now and the distractions and things, but there's somebody who's trying to satisfy himself, and the reality, you can't satisfy yourself, and that's one of the ironies. And so he's pursuing the impossible dream, because if he wins the European Cup,
yeah, what's next?
He wants to win. Yep. He'll want to win it again next year, and so he goes on.
Yeah, yep.
And it's quite humorous, really. You've got to see the funny side of it all.
So, how did it come to pass that you turned up on Waiheke Island?
When I was back in the UK, I met my beautiful wife Bridget. She wasn't my wife at the time, and I decided I was going to go back to New Zealand, and as she's an artist, I thought she'd probably enjoy Waiheke, and
right.
That's how
it's
turned out.
Yep.
She loves it here.
Yep, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yes. All right, okay. So, plans for the weekend? What are you going to be up to?
Me? Mm. Unfortunately, like most of us, there's some lawns
that I can relate to
that need doing, and some paperwork that needs doing. But there's also probably a bit of time for the 50 over match that starts.
Oh, that's right, this afternoon.
Yeah, that'll
that's
be interesting. Right. Actually, it'll be interesting to see that.
Yeah, and are you getting up watching the Blues this weekend?
I probably will, but.
So who are they losing to this weekend?
Bolton.
Oh, well, if they don't win that one, they're in trouble. Because Bolton are really struggling, aren't they? Really struggling. Now, here's a question for you chaps. Nothing to do with Buddhism or football. I laugh. I read the Golf News like most people do, and it's a bit of a whinge fest, and I see people writing in. And a lot of it over the Christmas period is always the same, and it relates to townies coming over and they're big four-wheel drives, they don't know how to drive, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's just the townies that we have trouble with on the roads here. I think it's an admitted thing that the driving standard in New Zealand is pretty poor. But on the island, I think it's doubly so. Mm. And I'm talking about people who have forgotten what that little stick on their steering column is for. It's an indicator.
Yes.
They forget about the little mirror that you can see what's behind you. They don't seem to care about what's behind you. You know, the number of times that people will just stop dead in front of you because they want to talk to their mate who's coming along the other way.
Middle of the road, yeah.
And all it is, it gets back to what we were talking about before, tolerance and courtesy. And all you've got to do is just, if you want to stop and talk to someone, that's fine. That's just right. pull over, let whoever's behind you go past. I get frustrated. I get really frustrated sometimes by these people on the road.
But you notice, so when you go and buy a new car in New Zealand, like, indicators, they're an optional extra.
I don't think so.
You can have them if you want, or if not.
But the number of people that don't indicate is horrendous. And I guess, look, we're all guilty of it at times, but generally, and the big one for me is using the rear view mirror. All you've got to do, look in your rear view mirror. If there's someone behind you and you don't want to go fast, fine, pull over and let them go by. Because some people aren't in a hurry. Other people who perhaps have a job or they've got to do something need to get somewhere a little bit quicker.
But tailgating, though, in general, is a problem over here.
Yes, it is. Yes, right. It is. Yeah.
Because you put your brakes on, car behind you is going to hit you.
Yeah, it is. You know? Yeah. And of course, the roads here aren't the greatest either, as we've all accepted. And we had Martin Reynolds some time ago explaining the reasons why that is. And that's not going to change in a hurry. And that leads me to another thing that I was thinking about over the Christmas period is this cycle action group. And for me, because the roads here are one, so narrow, and two, so poor, a lot of times you're taking your life in your own hands just getting on a bike.
Yep.
And I used to do a bit of cycling. I don't have a problem with it, but it's dangerous, really dangerous.
Yes. Well, the thing that gets me on the island, where there are cycle lanes, they don't use them. They still cycle in the road.
And again, it may be just a case of a few people making it bad for everyone else, you know. But the lady who is the spokesperson for Cycle Action Auckland, Barbara Cuthbert, she lived in Devonport. She was a friend of ours in Devonport before she moved to Waiheke, and she now mixes her time between Devonport and Waiheke. And she was responsible, or her group was responsible, for getting reasonably decent cycle lanes in Devonport.
Yep.
So from that aspect, she's done quite a good job. I just think that perhaps Waiheke's just a different kettle of fish altogether because of the state of the roads and etc. So it'll be interesting to see how far we go. I mean, you drive down the Matiatia Strait and they say give cyclists a metre and a half. Well, if you're going to do that, you're going to be driving in someone's front lawn on the other side of the road because it's just not big enough to do it.
Yeah. Well, you can't win it every time, can you?
You can't. The common sense has got to be well. No.
Okay. So, Mr. Dave, anything else you'd like to add, sir, before we go to a final record? And
yeah, I'd just like to say if anybody is interested in the Geshe Tinny, they can get in touch with me on 2358 or with Russell on 8816. And, I mean, we're all incredibly fortunate to be on this planet and on this island. And if we all have tolerance for one another, then life becomes easier, whether you're a Buddhist, a Christian, or a Hindu.
Mm, mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right, so any idea when the next one is?
The next?
Next meeting?
Yeah, Geshe Tinny comes on the 11th of March.
11th of March, okay.
10 o'clock at the Little Mora Hall.
Right, okay. And you're going to put that out in the press
Russell puts something in. And
right, okay.
And we also have, as I say, we have this Monday group, which we talk and have a quiet sit together if anybody's interested in doing that.
Alright, might be worth actually going down there and talking to the guy, having an interview.
Yeah,
something they could use on the island life. Well, David, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.